Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got him on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Get no punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number. Give us a call. Talk some Giants football and Giants draft. John Schmelk joined by Paul Dottino. Hello, everybody. We had a day off, which was nice. So yes. You probably, the bags under the eyes have shrunk a little bit. We're a little bit more awake. We got some nice rest after about three or four straight 12 or 14-hour days. And we can do a little review here and see exactly what the Giants ended up doing with their draft, talk about the players, and, of course, get your opinions. Now, before we start this little exercise, though, let me say this. You're going to ask us what our grades are, and neither Paul and I are going to give you a grade. Because giving a grade a day after a draft, before anybody even steps on the practice field, might be the most asinine thing of all time. It doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of time to do it. And, frankly, it's stupid. So we're not going to give you a grade. We could talk about the players. We could talk about how they're going to help the team. But we're not giving out grades. Because, frankly, I'm not even willing to grade out last year's draft yet. I'm not even willing to grade out Justin Pugh's draft yet. Let's see how they play after three seasons. Then you come talk to me about grading a draft. All right? That's number one. Hi, Paul.
Hello, John.
Do you agree?
Yes, I think giving out draft grades at
draft
this
grades?
Point. Yeah, exactly.
I love trading drafts. I think it's great.
Our brains have been scrambled so badly in this last week. Here's what I will say, though. You look at the value and the need component in the Giants draft, and you look at the consensus of what the guys can do and where they went. I would say I think the Giants did well. But to actually pin them down with a grade, I agree with you. It's really not relevant to do.
I think the Giants, frankly, got a little fortunate this year. I think it worked out based on where they were picking. Players of value that matched where they picked ended up being in positions that they needed.
We thought it would work that way.
And we did. We thought they'd be able to get an offensive lineman that was, you know, pretty good for value number nine. Again, Brandon Scherff was a name we talked a lot about, but he was off the board, which I tried to convince people, including you, that that was a decent possibility. You tried to, you know, say I was wrong.
I wanted him, John.
I know you did. Anyway, the point being, you ended up getting an offensive lineman that can step in and be a big help, especially in the run game and adding to the toughness and blue collar and nastiness of the offensive line. And then in the second round, cost you a fourth round pick, cost you a seventh round pick. I thought a move like that would have cost you a third. And I made that point last week with Charlie in Portland, Maine, and I ended up being wrong about it. He was right. All it cost to move up was a four. I thought it was a good deal.
And a seven.
And you get a guy who most people believe was the top safety on the board. You know, some people thought it was Demaryius Randle, but I think the majority probably still thought it was Landon Collins, despite Randle's late rise up the draft board.
Yep.
And that's a position where, you know, we talked about all year, the Giants did not have anybody that had started an NFL game at safety on the roster, except Josh Gordy, who I think maybe started one game for the Colts back in the day. So you needed somebody that can come in and play safety, and Collins is NFL ready as they come from a program that plays a pro style for the coach that's been in the pros. Everything adds up to a guy that's going to help you right away on that side of the ball in the secondary.
Two pro-ready starters who likely will be in the starting lineup week one against the Cowboys in your first two picks.
You say likely. They will have to compete in their no spots.
I say likely.
Yes.
I use that word with the L. Okay, likely. And there's a very good chance that the third-round pick is going to be somewhat of a rotational player as well and certainly has tremendous ups. And because of the hip surgery, as we've talked about before, some teams will look at injuries and grade a player differently because of their medical. The Giants' medical staff said clean bill of health. He's fine. He's good. He's terrific. And just go off the value board. Well, the value board said he was a good pick in the third round. And so there's really nothing to complain about in the first three rounds. After that, now you start adding in different factors of, well, he's a third-day draft pick. There's always going to be, as even Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin and Mark Ross all said, there's going to be things about those guys that made them latter-day picks.
Right.
And so now it's up to the coaching staff to coach him up and see whatever they can get out of them. So, I mean, your top three are your most important, and the Giants seem to have done well. In fact, John, didn't we talk about at one point during the offseason, the draft gurus all had these guys as potential late first rounders and Flowers higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, they had, you know, Flowers. I mean, heck, when these things first started coming out back
Collins
in
was even
January,
top 10.
Collins was top 15,
yeah,
I would say. Flowers was probably top 20, 25 when this thing started.
Yeah.
And Odighizuwa was kind of slipping into the end of that first round in some of these mock drafts. So,
true.
Look, and obviously, you know, mock drafts, you take them with a grain of salt, but it shows that there is value there and there's a lot of potential. And it's funny, on Odighizuwa very, very quickly, we talked about when we did our show on Friday night when the pick happened and the way Tom Coughlin and Jerry spoke about him. And it just clicked for me, and I think it did for you too, that the type of player they were describing sounded like a Justin Tuck.
Yeah.
So I the way he plays left end, good against the run, can go into play a little three technique, big, strong guy, all that stuff. So I was reading a bunch of, you know, stuff on Odighizuwa. I went back, you know, read a lot of the scouting reports, and other scouts, which I hadn't seen before I made that point on Friday night, had made that comparison too, that he was that type of player, which I thought was interesting.
You know, it's funny because one of the things that Charlie Casserly said on NFL Network, I think it was yesterday, and by the way, Brian Baldinger did give a grade to the Giants draft. He said it was an A. I mean, he just loved it,
well,
for what it's worth.
He got an A, and then I had somebody tweet me some Bleacher Report story this morning, and the grade wasn't quite as positive, and the fan was freaking out about it. So that's why I wanted to be like,
yeah, but you know what? The Bleacher Report guy probably didn't play a decade in the NFL like Brian Baldinger did.
No, he probably did not.
No, I'm taking a pretty good guess on that one. But here's what I will say. Charlie Casserly, who obviously has a lot of NFL experience, he said that Odighizuwa, in his mind, is going to be a much better pro player than he was in college.
Really?
Yeah, and the
Why?
Reason is, he said when he watched him at UCLA, and he's right because I looked at tape on him too, he lined up a lot closer in their 4-3 alignment. He didn't line up very wide, so they weren't making use of his speed off the edge very much.
So they weren't really giving him much of an opportunity to get off the edge of the pass rusher. That's interesting. I didn't hear that.
And we talked about this last week, John, about how you have to project the guy into your scheme
right.
when he gets to the pros. Casserly was saying, not only is he a kind of guy who can provide a pass rush mismatch because of his athleticism as a defensive tackle, but he said they're going to be able, if they want to, in their scheme, in their 4-3, line him up more wide, where UCLA really wanted him to be more of a run stopper and clogging things down and trying to set the edge. The Giants should be able to use him more to come off the edge. So his projection is that this guy is going to be a really productive pass rusher, much more than he was with the Bruins.
Now, the Giants obviously did not have a fourth-round pick because of the trade. So,
right.
Paul, let's just very quickly talk about their picks in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round. Mikal Thompson? Do I have that right, or is it Michael?
I thought it was Mikal.
It's Mikal Thompson. Thank
I thought,
you.
But you know what? I could be wrong, too.
No, I believe you are correct, actually. Mikal Thompson, safety out of Texas, 6 foot, 200 pounds, could project to a slot corner now and then, but they like him as a coverage type of safety, and I believe the quote was at the press conference, he complements Landon Collins' skill set very well.
He ran, what I understand, in his workout in the 4.4s.
Right.
And for a guy with that kind of size who played at a big program at Texas and started for 3 years, those are all good checks as you're looking in the fifth round and you try to figure out, well, what are we going to do? Who are we going to pick? Those are all good checks, and at the very least, you'd have to believe he's going to be really good on coverage and punt return and kick return.
And I feel like, I think Mark Ross is who was the person who said it, that there was like a pretty steep thinning out at like a point in the middle rounds. And I think it was funny, this draft was a deep draft, and you were getting, you know, a guy like Odighizuwa in the third round who could be a first-round caliber player. But I think shortly after that, you started getting a little bit of a thinning out.
Okay.
And I think, you know, when you talk about where there's gaps in the draft, where you get big drops in talent level from gap to gap, you know, Mark Ross wasn't specific, but I think around that fourth round area, that's when you had a little bit of a drop-off, I think, from what I could tell. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would, in that I don't think anybody is going to come in here and project right away that, oh, Thompson's going to be part of the starting lineup.
I'm not
going to get that
and
in
again,
the fifth round.
I'm not talking about the Giants draft specifically. I'm talking about the entire draft in totality, where you get around the middle of that fourth round, you know, you had a few guys left on the board that we talked about on our show on Saturday morning that you were left, and you're like, well, this guy, and then once you got through a dozen or 15 guys, you're like, you know,
I'd
what?
Agree.
Now we have a bit of a drop here.
I think early in that round, there were still guys who you could compete to, or at least think that they could compete for starting jobs.
Right.
But then after that, they were just guys who had make-it grades on them.
And again,
opposed to maybe potential starters right away.
And again, that's not to say these three guys that the Giants picked in round 5, 6, or 7 aren't going to be able to compete for one of those spots, but that seemed to be the impression that most people had of the player. So we talk about Thompson. Jeremy Davis at a UConn, 6'3", 216, a wide receiver, picked at 186. Overall, a guy with some size, not a ton of speed, possession type of receiver. The comparison has been made to Jason Avon, who I know we've talked about on this show a bunch. The type of receiver the Giants can certainly use. And most importantly, Paul, he's going to have a chance to earn a roster spot based on his special teams.
What I love about him is he's already talking about how he loves to get down and kick coverage. He loves to play gunner. He's physical. He likes to tackle people. And this coming from a wide receiver, by the way, who is not afraid to go across the middle, who's not afraid to play slot, even though he's a big guy. You wouldn't normally think of him as a slot guy. He goes over the middle. He's got good hands. Productive player at UConn, although they're not usually a wing it type of offense. And so, again, no complaints. I think, if you look at the last two guys he just mentioned, Thompson and Cooper Taylor are probably going to be fighting it out.
Yeah.
I think for a spot.
Absolutely.
And I think that Davis and Corey Washington will probably fight it out for a spot.
Agreed.
And not only will they have to fight it out in their respective positions, but special teams is going to be a big part of their grades and their evaluation as they try to nail down a place in the 53.
And then finally, Bobby Hart, the 7th-round draft. He played tackle at Florida State, projects at guard at the pros, 6'4", 315, a guy who I think projects fairly well. They'll work with him, and they'll see if they can figure out a way to get him on that final 53.
Yeah, the 315, I think, was listed. It's on our sheets. I think that was the opening day weight at Florida State.
He might be as high
like
as 325, 330, right?
Yeah, he's apparently a very, very big man. And again, 3-year-plus starter, big-time program, much more of an anchor player than an athletic player, and that's why the Giants are saying he's going to be a guard project, not a tackle project. And hey, what have we said time and time and time again, John? It's about rebuilding the offensive line, and it's not just the five guys who are going to start. You also got to look at the 3 or 4 backups you're going to have. This guy, absolutely, with his size, with his experience, hopefully with the power and skill set he brings, he's got a chance to make the 53 and improve the back end of that depth chart. And that's a good thing when you're talking about the 7th round.
All right, let's get to the calls here. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Michael in Texas. He's been on hold the longest. He was first one in. Now he's the first one up. What's up, Mike?
I think it's Russell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Russ, what's going on, pal?
Yeah, I got a question. P-Dot, maybe you can answer this question about this offensive line. After the draft, I was wondering, who's our best blocking tight end right now on this roster?
On the Giants roster, it would have to be Fells.
Fells? So they really trust him to be the blocking tight end for the future? I'm just wondering.
Well, let me make something very clear to you. Daniel Fells is a very heady player who understands the system. He's a good teammate. He's very well-liked. And so they brought him back basically on a 1-year deal like they had him last year as if nothing else, at the minimum, a safety net. Now, they don't have all of the guys they're going to have in camp yet here at the facility. There are undrafted rookie free agents who will be coming in on Thursday, I believe you said, John, right?
Well, yeah, everyone will be here on Thursday, but I don't know when those, whenever those signings becomes official, they'll become official. But the Giants haven't announced anything yet
right.
In regards to their undrafted free agents.
And
signings.
So you don't know what that cluster of players is going to bring and if there will be somebody there to compete. As I've said all along, and John can second me on this, that's where you get that kind of player. Because people aren't drafting those blocking inline tight ends. They're not wasting a pick on those kinds of guys.
Well, for example, the one guy that you identified that you like was an undrafted free agent that went to that's rumored to be going to the Bears, right?
Ryan Vogler.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And supposedly he's landing with Chicago. Those kinds of players you're usually going to get at your rookie minicamp, and then you see what you've got. And that's what's going to have to be in competition with Fells. And we're going to see how it goes from there. So don't. But
yeah,
what I'm saying is,
the offensive line looks straight. It looks better than what we had last year. So
well, it does.
I think Flowers. That's my guy. I see Pro Bowl in the future with this guy. He's gonna be. He's a good pickup. I like his attitude. He just looks like one of those guys that just want to knock people over. He's like, yeah, I just want to knock somebody over, open a hole for the running back. So that was the question I wanted to ask about the blocking tight end.
Yeah.
Everything else looks good. It was a good draft. I give him an A+.
Okay,
not me,
my friend.
A, my fault.
He's going with the grades. He's going with the grades.
We like it.
But again, the point being, if you considered that a hole on this team, and you know I've talked about that, you want to enhance the competition with a blocking inline tight end. You don't have to use a draft pick to get one.
No question. I mean, look, they got Daniel Fells off the street last year. He didn't played for a year. So
right.
201-939-4513. Phil's in South Carolina. Philip?
Yes, thanks, guys.
Hi, Phil.
Enjoy the show.
Thank
Long
you.
Long-time Giant fan from way back, and so was my father.
Great.
The fifth and sixth rounds I find very interesting. I think from my initial impression is the fifth round, I think we maybe put too much stock in need. And then the sixth round was almost the reverse. It almost we went too much into value. And I felt the other picks were a good combination. So that was my initial impression of that. And I'm just concerned that we put too much weight. You know, I know the address that Mark Ross said, we trust your scouts, but it almost seems like we maybe sometimes get too confident in those middle round picks with our process. And because historically, you know, we've done, or I should say, in at least the last 10 years, we've done pretty well with the upper first three rounds, except for Stinkham and Marvin Austin, but pretty well in the first round. And we found a lot of hidden gems in the low, very low rounds. And the free agents, we've done very well. But the middle round, we've done poorly. So I'm wondering if we have to, you know, reevaluate those middle rounds like we did the upper and lower rounds.
Yeah, but Phil, here's the thing: the process for the mid rounds is the exact same process that they have for the early rounds and the late rounds. The process doesn't change. I mean, I don't. And you said you thought they picked for need too much in the fifth round. I can tell you they didn't pick Mikal Thompson because he was a safety. They picked him because he thought that was the best player on the board at that point. Once you get to those late rounds, especially, you know, and I count late rounds anything on the third day. Anything, you know, 4 through 7, you at that point, there are so few players left that you might have a high, high grade on. You got to pick that player that has a high grade. You can't go fishing for positions here because that's when you're going to wind up with somebody on your team that might play the position you need, but he can't play. So trust me, the Giants aren't going around fishing on day three picks for guys that play certain spots. They're looking for talent, guys that can develop into something down the road.
So you're saying he wasn't a neat pick, he was a value pick. And why was he ranked so low compared to, you know, in all the rankings, he was ranked very low?
Well, I guess the Giants scouts have a different opinion than the people that make up all the draft books.
Okay, that's a little puzzling, but I hope you're right, John. I hope you're right, but just a little concerned, you know, with some of our middle round picks, and our track record hasn't been good lately with the middle round, but good in the upper round and good in the lower, but the middle, we haven't been good. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and I really appreciate your show.
Phil, anytime. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, pal. Appreciate it.
You know, John, I think the key that you just mentioned there is, you know, you could talk all you want about how this book or that website didn't have this guy rated where the Giants picked him or whatever the case may be, but none of us know what was on their board. And how do you know where he was rated on their board? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I mean,
for all we know, and I don't know this, I don't know this, but maybe they had Thompson rated 10 or 12 spots higher than where they picked.
Maybe.
Maybe in their mind, he fell to them. Or maybe he was exactly where he should have been. I don't know the answer to that because
I
didn't get into that room. But
thank God.
Yeah. But the point is, in terms of what this guy's going to do for the Giants, hey, they've got him. They've picked him. Let's get him in here. Let the coaches coach him up. Let's wait and see and let the kid earn his way onto this roster.
And there are a lot of guys, folks, when you go back through the years where, I mean, all I remember is when the Giants picked Devon Kadar in the fifth round last year, people were like, oh, it's a make-it linebacker. He'll contribute on special teams, blah, 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 blah. Nobody, and I mean, I didn't hear one person come on this show last year. We talked to a lot of different people come on and say, this kid's going to break into the starting lineup by midseason and be the team's best linebacker. And let's be honest, he was a team once – Beeson went down, He was the team's best linebacker last year. He absolutely was, and nobody saw that coming. Absolutely nobody. In fact, I saw people label Kennard a reach when the Giants picked him last year where they did. So nobody knows.
That's true.
Nobody knows.
Although I will say, once we got to see him at training camp, John, you could tell that there was something really special.
Absolutely.
And that goes back to, can I tell you, folks, that's why when we do all of this stuff, and I tell you all the time, it's the eye test for me. I need to see these guys. That's why I do so much film work like I do. That's why when we go to training camp, I'm looking at guys. I'm looking at dark horses. I'm looking at the undrafted free agents. Nothing, John, is better than the eye. You know, entree roll. Believe what you see.
Yeah, you got to watch the tape. It's the only way to do it.
Or get them out here on the practice field. Believe what you see. Let's see.
201-939-4513, Vixen, Florida. Victor.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hello, Vic.
Good. I was going to ask a question about a blocking tight end. I thought that maybe the Giants would have drafted one in a later rounds. But Paul answered my question anyway about the blocking tight end before with an earlier caller.
That's all right.
Now, the other question I have is that, is Lyle Collins eligible to be signed by anybody after the problem that he's had?
Lyle Collins right now is a player that the Giants organization and us really can't talk about. Right now, he's available, he's out there, and that's pretty much all we can say about it, Vic.
Okay, that's all I want to ask. I wish that you will end up with the Giants. That would be great. But anyway, thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate your show. I really do.
Thank you, Victor. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Derek in Atlanta's up next. Derek?
Hold on a second.
Derek, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi. I'm doing great. Derek, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to say, I thought the draft was excellent, man. I thought we got exactly what we needed. We needed a tackle so we could kick Pugh inside. And then we got Collins a couple of months back. He was almost going number. People were projecting him as number nine.
They were,
you know, to us.
I know.
And then, so we got him. You know, like I called in last week. I said, I hope we wind up with double O. You know, we wind up getting
I remember
him,
that. So. I remember that.
And it's funny. It's actually, you know, Derek, after they made those picks, I thought back to your call. I think you talked to Paul and I on Thursday. You talked to Paul and I on Tuesday afternoon last week, I think. And
yes.
You wanted Flowers. You wanted double O. And then you got the safety. And I thought, you know, Derek's got to be a pretty happy guy today.
I thought, you know, I was going to get a clean sweep because in the fifth round, my guy was still on the board. And Kyle Emanuel, my sleeper. You know, I know everybody had a sleeper, and he didn't get him taken. But a couple of picks back, you know, afterwards, he got taken.
You know,
by
it's a good thing.
Almost bet a thousand here.
It's
you know?
A good thing you just didn't say right now that you had Thompson in the fifth round because you'd have lost me.
you'd have lost
all credibility.
Emanuel,
okay,
but I'm one of him. But you know, hey, I'm happy with the draft. I think we're improving on the special teams. I think we got some big physical guys. You know, we got people, you know, that's going to contribute, you know, throughout this process. And that's all we wanted, you know. We wanted somebody who can come in and help us with the positions that we needed. And, you know, the only thing I was going to say is, you know, Kerry Wynn, you know, he didn't even start. I mean, he didn't, you know, where did he go last year?
Kerry Wynn was an undrafted free agent.
Was not picked.
Right. And he came in and contributed. So,
yep.
I mean, I'm trusting in what I'm seeing the GM. We got Devin Kennard, 4.5 sacks last year out of the fifth round.
Yes.
You know, and I remember that double O reminds me of Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck was taken in the third round too, right?
Yes, he was.
Wow. So
that's right.
If I can keep coming and be even similar to what Tuck was, I'm a very happy guy.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you should be.
I mean,
yeah.
Really?
Well, I just wanted to ask P-Dot before I go, you know, well, you can answer off the line. Where'd your sleepers go?
Thank you, know? Derek.
Where did my sleepers go?
Yeah, you said you would, your sleepers heading into the draft, a couple guys that you liked late.
Oh.
Where'd they end up going?
Well, Brian Vogler, the tight end, is rumored to have agreed to a deal, undrafted free agent with the Bears. That's a guy I looked at. Kenny Bell, where did the Nebraska receiver
go? What?
He was drafted fifth round, wasn't he?
I was looking at that this morning, and I don't remember where he went. Hold on one second. Let me bring that up.
I'm pretty sure he went fifth round to somebody, and I liked him as a late-round guy.
I can bring him up here. Stand by.
Boyle, the tight end out of Delaware, was somebody that was an interesting prospect, and I think he also went like fifth round, didn't he?
Kenny Bell went to the Buccaneers in round number 5.
Okay, and check tight end for Boyle. Nick Boyle from...
I'll stay on the B's here. Nick Boyle went to the Ravens in round number... Wow, so the Ravens picked two tight ends. They picked Max Williams and they picked Nick Boyle.
Yeah, Max Williams, by the way, son of former Giants offensive lineman Brian Williams, who was a first round
pick. Wow, Nick Boyle went in the fifth round. That was earlier than you thought he would go, wasn't
it? Yeah, I thought he'd go 6 or 7. Yeah. Or maybe even drop out entirely. So those were a couple of the guys that, you know, we were kind of looking at. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, you roll the dice on some of the later round picks. What I do like is this, John, and remember what I said, the requirement going in, and this is just, you know, something I learned a long time ago from George Young. No matter what you think about the later round guys, the bottom line is they're being brought here to compete for a spot on the 53. And do you realistically believe that, let's say, number 6, Jeremy Davis, and number 7, Bobby Hart, have a chance? Can you see it right now? Look at the Giants 53 and say, do they have an opportunity to realistically compete against the guys who would be at the back end of the depth chart at their positions? And I think they absolutely can.
And again, who knows how injury is going to clear up those depth charts, too? You have no idea.
You don't know, which then creates a spot.
Right, absolutely.
And everybody moves up. But clearly, there is room at the back end of the offensive line to compete. The Davis pick, as I said earlier, I think he competes with Corey Washington. And we know that Corey Washington had some work to do to get himself onto the field. Tom Coughlin made that very clear at the end of last season. And Thompson, again, Cooper Taylor, you've had 2 years here, and you've been injured basically the whole time.
Yep.
So you got to stay healthy, and then put your wares up against Thompson and may the best guy win.
Yeah, I mean, if Cooper Taylor gets hurt again in the second preseason game, who knows what's going to happen.
Then by default, then Thompson's going to have an edge.
I want to warn people one other thing, too, and this is not meant to dampen people's enthusiasm or rain on anybody's parade. Let me say that right up front. But as excited as everybody is for these draft picks, just remember, there's still going to be rookies in their first year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect your first-round pick and he's 9th overall, don't expect Derek Flowers come in here to be this fully polished guy that's going to be consistent every game and not have any bumps in the road. It's not going to happen. There's going to be games where he's going to go up against some elite pass rusher in the first five. Let me look at the schedule here. Let me see. He's going to line up against Ryan Kerrigan on that Thursday night game against the Redskins on September 24th. And you know what? Ryan Kerrigan, there's going to be a few plays where he's probably going to abuse him. Ryan Kerrigan's going to probably eat his lunch. It's going to happen. That happens to all rookies. You're just going to have to deal with some of the bumps. And you know what? There's going to be a player on the year. Maybe it's going to be week 2 or week 1. Maybe Julio Jones is going to get over Landon Collins over the top and catch a deep pass for a touchdown. Maybe Des Bryant will do it in week number 1. These things are going to happen. There are going to be bumps in the road. I don't care how good you are. Going from a college player to an NFL player is a tough transition, and there are going to be bumps in the road. Don't expect these guys to be perfect right off the bat.
Especially offensive linemen,
yes,
who will be tested.
Mm-hmm.
They will be tested because you are going to have to prove that you can hold up in this league.
And not even physically. They're going to be tested mentally, too.
Oh,
they're
sure.
going to throw all sorts of games on him at that side. Absolutely.
I mean, Dallas and Atlanta right now don't have a premier pass rusher on either of their rosters.
Assuming Greg Hardy's not on the field.
Right.
Correct.
So, you know, you say, well, they don't have the one guy who they can put on top of the rookie and say, okay, go to work. But what they will do is try to give that rookie a lot of different looks.
I'll tell you what, here are two teams early in the year that will challenge Eric Flowers. Rex Ryan, Bills, October 4th.
No
Hello,
doubt.
Mario Williams.
Yep.
49ers. I know they've lost a lot of guys, but you know what? They still have they're still a defense-oriented team.
Mm-hmm.
Their head coach was their old defensive line coach. They're going to run some games in that matchup, too.
There's no doubt. And so, you know, go back to what John said a second ago. When you say rookie mistakes, these are things you have to learn to live with. There will be bumps and bruises in that first season for any rookie. And that's why, quite honestly, you know, when you go back a couple of years ago to what Justin Pugh did, when he was a rookie coming out of Syracuse, you know, lower pick, And yet, his first year here with the Giants, I mean, he was an all-NFL rookie teamer to me. I thought he held up marvelously well.
He had a
much
better rookie year than a lot of guys picked before him, the Luke Jokels, the Jake Fishers,
really
the Lane Johnsons.
He
played better as a rookie than those guys did, absolutely.
He really did. And so that's why it was really easy to get excited about him, and that's why you know that Pugh's a good player over the long term. He was a little hurt last year, you know, had some sophomore bumps and bruises, so to speak, but what I saw of Pugh as a rookie made me believe that he's a good player.
I think he's going to be fine. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Alan in California on line three. He's up next. What's up, Alan?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Alan.
I love your show, and what a great job both of you do. And, John, you're the best. You really are.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Guys, I would have to give two grades. First three picks, absolute A. Meeting needs, great value. I was so disappointed in 5, 6, and 7. And in the fifth round, they could have taken Stephon Diggs, a great wide receiver for Maryland, wound up with the Minnesota Vikings, a real home run hitter. They could have taken Kenny Bell, who Paul was really touting, another really fine receiver from Nebraska, wound up, as you indicated, to Tampa. Why reach on the fifth round with Thompson? Nobody was clamoring for him. They could have taken him in 6 or 7. In the meantime, they could have gotten a real big-time receiver in the fifth round because they went wide receiver in the sixth with someone who's compared to Jason Avant, who Reese indicates has very limited upside potential. Why do that when you could have gotten a really, really fine wide receiver with round five?
Well, I'm only going to say this to you. They wound up adding depth at wide receiver in Jeremy Davis, who I think is a really good fit for what they're going to ask him to do. So they kind of got that guy anyway around later. So I don't know why you have any regret about that. And as far as Thompson goes, look, I don't know anything about him. Again, all the 120-something players I did workups on, he was not one of them. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he was a reach until I see this guy. And then we'll talk about it. But right now it's unfair. John's not going to tell you anything about him either. He hasn't seen him, unless you've been to Texas lately.
Yeah, Alan, here's the trick. And I sat here 2 years ago, and this was after the Justin Pugh draft, all right? And everyone sat here, and they were happy about the Justin Pugh pick. All I got to was Giant fans calling up, gloating and laughing at the Dallas Cowboys for drafting Travis Frederick with the 31st pick in the first round of the draft. They said it was a reach. He was supposed to go in the fourth round. He stunk. It was an awful pick. 2 years later, the guy's in the Pro Bowl. So, and everyone had Travis Frederick as a fourth or fifth round pick that year. And I hesitate to go out there and say a guy can't play before I see him. So let's see him on the field. Let's see what happens. You could end up being right. You could end up being wrong. I don't know. Only time will tell.
Yeah, the thing that disappointed me was that Bell and Diggs, definitely home run type wide receivers. Davis very limited.
No, here's what you're missing on that, though. Clearly they decided they wanted to have a bigger guy. Bell's a little smaller, and Davis is a dynamo on specials.
He's a much higher floor and maybe a lower ceiling, sure, but he's a higher floor.
Our run blocker, tough, physical, and again, he's talking about being a gunner on kick coverage. You honestly, do you know a head coach in the NFL that doesn't want to hear a guy on the back end of the depth chart enthusiastic about being a gunner?
That plays wide receiver, by the way. There aren't a lot of wide receivers
really
that like to play special teams coming out of college these days.
So, you know, look, I like Afro Thunder very much. I got a hunch he's not real enthusiastic about playing gunner. You see what I'm getting at? I think you're talking about a different kind of player here, but he is also a wide receiver. So as much as I liked Bell a lot, I really, really did, I see the reasoning behind this. There's some logic behind this pick. I'm good with him.
Well, I hope you're right. And the first three picks stellar and A to A+. So I'm happy about that. A little bit worried about the last three, and just a lot of conjecture on the last three. So hope for the best. That's all I can do at this juncture.
Sounds good, Alan.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, my friend.
John, I wanted to read this to you because Gil Brandt apparently had put something out, and I appreciate someone here at the Giants was able to get this to us on an email. Miami offensive tackle Eric Flowers gave up no sacks this past year, had two holding penalties, both against Arkansas State, and allowed just three pressures against top 25 ranked defenders.
That's from Gil Brandt?
That's from Gil Brandt, who apparently put that up on his website or in a blog or something of that nature. He clearly is very, very happy with Eric Flowers.
I've seen most people think that he's going to be a very, very good player down the road. Everyone really thinks he's going to develop into a top-flight tackle.
And, you know, again, I want to go back. I don't want to do any revisionist history. When we went into the draft, we were talking about prospects, and I said, okay, well, let's see. You got to worry about this knee surgery thing. That could be an issue. Well, the Giants medical staff checked on it, and they said, great, not a problem. So that's one less thing to worry about. And then the other thing was technique, and Flowers himself said, hey, you know what? I got a lot to learn. A lot to learn. He only played 2.5 years.
And you know, now he has to go in there and he has to learn it.
And that's
if he learns it, it's going to be great. If he doesn't, it's not going to work out. And so we'll see.
The good news is you got Platt Flaherty here.
Exactly.
And he's exactly the kind of guy who can apply the polish and the elbow grease to fix those technique things that we're talking about.
And it sounds like Flowers is the most important thing, that he's anxious and willing to learn. He's not happy with where he's at. And that's the first step in
good
the whole
kid,
thing.
Good kid, John. We enjoyed talking to him.
Man, a few words.
Yeah. Yeah.
But good kid.
His
nice
father,
guy.
His father is really cool.
Oh, he's funny.
Cool guy.
Yes.
And what I like about it is his father was talking about how humble and quiet perhaps his son is off the field, but then when he gets on the field and he's in the weight room and he's at practice and he's all business.
And you know what?
His kid wants to be like the man when it comes time to getting on the field.
And you know what that who reminds me of, honestly? It reminds me of Odell Beckham Jr. Because if you catch him, like in the locker room, just chatting with him,
right,
he's really quiet. He doesn't
right.
say a whole lot. And
right.
he comes also being very, very humble. And we actually interviewed his mom at the Pro Bowl, who's a former Olympic
runner.
Trial runner.
Right.
And she said that he's a different person when he steps on the field. A flip just switches, and he becomes Odell Beckham football player.
Switch
and stops
just
being,
flips.
What did I say?
Go on him. You said the flip just switches. I told
of course
you,
I did.
Our brain just scrambled after this week. It was a long week, folks.
I told you it was. So, he switches the flip, or flips the switch, take your pick, and he becomes a different player when he gets on the field. So, it's the same type of thing I heard from Odell's mom when we talked to her out there in Arizona. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Montrell in Florida. Montrell, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hi, Montrell.
Good. I just wanted to talk about a few of the draft picks.
Sure.
I actually like the last three. I like Michael Thompson from Texas. I have a close friend that lives in Texas and watches, a diehard Texas fan, and I talked to him about it. And I actually watched a full game of this guy. And he said they said that he's very athletic, and I noticed it too. They had him at corner 1 minute, then they switched him to slot corner. Well, then they switched him to free safety.
They did.
So this guy was all over the field, and he's a pure tackler. He's a sure tackler. This guy, he's a sleeper. And I see why Jerry Reese, the rest of those guys, picked him. Because I think he could come in here and really push a lot of the guys at the free safety position. I think Collins would kind of lock down that strong safety. And Bobby Hart from Florida State. I watched a lot of Florida State games, and he's been a starting right tackle for Florida State the past two seasons. You know, he's a young kid. He just turned 20. He was 19. And he probably has a lot of growing to do because he's a young kid. But he's been a starter for Florida State, blocking for the best. And I think people kind of overreacting about that and kind of need to relax and watch film on these guys. Like, actually watch the actual game and see how these guys play and not just read everything. And Flowers, very excited about Flowers in the top three picks. Everyone knows that. The top three picks is pretty good. But I also like the last three. And I don't know too much about the Connecticut guy, the guy from Connecticut. But I kind of watched the game of him. He don't get that much separation from defensive backs, but he's a big body and he catches the ball. And Flowers, I wanted to ask you guys also about Flowers.
Yeah.
I've read something to where I think it was College Football Focus, and they were talking about he was second out of all college prospects in run blocking, and Sheriff wasn't in the top 10. Is that true?
Well, yeah. The folks over at College Football Focus were not fans of Sheriff. They thought he was very overrated as a tackle. Now, again, they're just grading him as a tackle specifically, so you could take that for what you want. And they look at play. They don't necessarily look at upside and things like that, so they did not look highly on Sheriff, that particular site.
Probably the only people
correct
that I ever heard during the last 3 months be down on Sheriff.
I agree. That is that they were outliers in that respect. And again, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they were outliers from what most of the other people were saying about him.
Oh, okay. And also, I want to talk about the third round pick. Can't really pronounce his name. How do you pronounce his name?
Odigizua.
It is Omabe Odigizua.
Omabe Odigizua.
Yes.
Okay. With him, I looked at a few UCLA games, and he, the way they played him, I didn't like the way they played him. You know, they played him kind of like inside. I don't think they let him actually use his athletic ability because he's fast. He's, you know, 6'3",
yep,
267 pounds. This guy ran a 4.6 at the combine.
That's what we're talking about.
That's pretty fast and pretty impressive for a defensive end.
That's what we were talking about with Charlie Casserly when he was on NFL Network yesterday. And he said the Giants are going to be able to use him more off of the edge, get him out there and around somebody's linemen. And he's athletic and quick enough to do it.
Yeah, and I noticed that. And like I said, overall, I like the draft. I really enjoyed it. Definitely love the Collins pick as well. And everything is great. I'm very, very satisfied. And I guess that'll be all. Thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Montreal. Appreciate it. Odigizua at the combine. I'm just curious. 4.6, 240. A 2.69 the first 20. 1.61 the first 10. Bench press 59, broad jump 10 inches, 10 feet rather. I hope it's not 10 inches. He broad jumped 10 feet. Short shuttle 4.19, which is pretty good. So 3 cone 7.36. I'm not really that concerned with 40-yard dashes for defensive linemen. How often are they going to be out there running 20, 30 yards down the field? I think their shuttle times and their explosive things like the broad jump are probably better judges of what they're going to do.
Now, John, I don't know if I only have the top 20 defensive linemen here on my sheets. The shuttle, he ran a 4.19. Now, again, guys,
yep,
I don't get carried away with all the numbers here. I'm not a combine pro day guy. You know that, John. But the shuttle is one of those things that gives you an indication of the guy's foot quickness.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Let me give you some. I can give you some comparisons for you if
you
want.
Here's what I was just going to say, though. Look, the only guy who could even match his 4.19 is
Henry Anderson.
Well,
a lot of
Stanford
people really like, by the way. That was one of the guys that College Football Focus actually is
right
a big fan of.
But
Shane Ray's short shuttle is a 4.53, for example, which was
for the supposedly the quickest, most ferocious pass rusher, right, in this draft, supposedly. Again, a tweener. You know.
Other edge rushers, let me give you some numbers here. Dante Fowler, short shuttle, 4.3. Beasley, short shuttle, 4.15. That was one of the best numbers at the combine.
Right.
Randy Gregory, short shuttle. He did not run one at the combine, so I do not have his numbers here on that. Bud Dupree, another one. He did not run the short shuttle at the combine. I did a 4.47 at his pro day on that. So those are some numbers for you.
But, you know, again, talking about a guy as a player, you got to see what he does on the field. But that short shuttle number does at least tell you something just simply about his foot quickness. And you can't argue with this kid's athletic ability. I mean, that's pretty clear.
201-939-4513. Barry's in Brooklyn. He's up next. Barry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Hi.
Hey, I think we did an outstanding job in the draft. I'm not no GM, but I definitely
neither are we.
And I think we did an awesome job. But my question now, a couple of days ago, I asked about the Super Bowl and as far as us getting there. And you guys said, well, let's worry about the playoffs. So now my question is, how are we looking now as far as making the playoffs?
Well, I don't think that there's any doubt that the Giants have done a good job of potentially improving their 53. But you still have the undrafted rookies coming in, and there could be a couple of gems there. You've still got June 1st cuts, which there aren't as many now than there used to be some years ago, John, but there could still be some changes there. And then you got to go through training camp and not get anybody hurt, okay? Can we at least see that if the Giants going to be healthy
in
training camp?
Paul hit it absolutely. Injuries are the number one thing that's going to decide this. And when you look at how this team performs on the field, I think the offense is going to be fine. You got an offensive coordinator second. You got Eli. I think this offense is going to do enough to help you win games. I think they'll probably score. I think they averaged 22 a game last year.
They'll do better.
I think they'll get it up to around 24 this year, maybe a little higher than that even.
26.
I think they'll be a top 5, 6, 7 offense this year. The question is going to be is how quickly can Steve Spagnuolo put this defense together? And that, to me, is going to be a huge factor long-term. And, again, health's going to have a huge part in this too. But how this defense comes together is going to determine how good the Giants play this year.
Here's one thing I will say to you, okay? Again, this is simply a gut knee-jerk reaction off of the three-day draft. It looks to me like the Eagles – even though they're very puzzling with all the rebuilding they've done, just off the 3 days, John, I think the Eagles and the Giants probably helped themselves more than the Redskins and Cowboys, strictly off those 3 days. That doesn't factor in all the other stuff that could happen in the next few months.
Well, here's the trick. Here's the trick with Dallas. They got a guy, theoretically, if he gets his head on straight, and who knows if that can happen, that theoretically could be the best individual talent of any player that any one of those four teams picked this year in Randy Gregory, based on him being a top five, top ten talent in the league. But again, that's a huge if. Huge if. He could be a guy that doesn't play in a game this year because of those problems. They can get an absolute zero out of their second round pick, too. So that's going to swing things a lot either potential way.
They got to figure out how to use him, too.
That, too. Because again, I mean, I think I heard Rob Marinelli talk about him being like kind of like the Simeon Rice role, but he's not, I mean, he's not big enough. Simeon Rice was 260.
You know what? Hallelujah. Dallas, you want to play him down in the dirt, go right ahead.
Run right at him,
Put his hand down in the dirt. Please make him a 4-3 defensive end. Oh, I'd probably run right through him.
Yeah, just play him on third downs at that point, right?
I'm telling you.
You got anything else for us, Barry?
Hey, that's everything, man. Thanks a lot. Go Giants.
Thanks, Barry. 201-939-4513. I got two more calls. We'll take J.D., we'll take Charlie, and then I'm going to go through a lot of tweets on Twitter to kind of get us to 1 o'clock, all right?
Okay.
Let's go to J.D. next in North Carolina. J.D., what's going on?
Hey, John, P-Dot.
Hi, J.D.
First of all, I want to thank you guys for all the incredible work you did with the draft coverage.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You guys really knocked it out of the park, made it really enjoyable to watch.
Thank you.
So thanks again for that. I think if you're looking for a consistent theme with the Giants draft philosophy this year, I think it would have to be versatility. I really think they got the most out of their draft picks in every round. If you just go down the line real quick, Ereck Flowers obviously can play tackle and guard if needed, but I think they're going to obviously play him at right tackle.
He's a tackle, JD. I only see if there's an emergency, you could put him at guard. I don't see it. To me, at 6'6", 330, dude's a tackle. With those feet, he's going to be a tackle.
And you know what? Between the guys that they got, if Bobby Hart makes the team and Brett Jones, the CFL guy, is here, who they brought down from Canada, I mean, it looks like they've got two young guard prospects, and Jones is a center prospect,
not to
too.
Mention Eric Herman's still here,
and,
too.
You know, and they also got a couple other guys.
John Jerry's back, too.
Right, John Jerry's re-signed. They got enough of guards, I think, that they got quantity there to pick from. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't mean in the sense that he was going to play guard, but just the fact that he could if needed. And then same thing with Landon Collins. He's going to play safety, but he's also probably going to get used in a linebacker role in a lot of positions, in certain coverages. The Dicky Zua. You know, he's going to play end, but even the coach has said already that you can slide him inside if needed. Mikel Thompson, you guys just touched on it a little bit. This is a guy that played basically every position in the secondary. He played both safety positions. He played corner, outside, and slot. And then Jeremy Davis, I really see this guy as kind of playing a David Tyree role insofar as he's going to be an outstanding special teams player. And, I mean, just looking at his size and his physique, he looks like he's going to be a guy that can come in and run block at the wide receiver position. So he might be used in a lot of those roles that Tyree used to get used in. And then even the seventh-round pick, Bobby Hart, played tackle, but he's going to be slid inside the guard. So I think with every pick they had, they really went for versatility. which is it's excellent theory, and I think it talks to how much thought they put into actually trying to manage the entity of the injury situation. It seems to be unavoidable, but you can't ignore it. So one of the things you can do to protect yourself against injury is have multiple guys who can play multiple positions. So now all of a sudden, if a corner or a safety goes down, you got a guy like, just for example, Mikel Thompson, who can play both positions. And I really love the way that the defense is shaping out. I think the Spags defense is going to kind of turn out to be the way it was, back in 07 when we were able to come at the defense, not only with just the NASCAR package where you had four defensive ends out there at one time, but the fact that you're going to be able to rotate these guys in and out and always be able to come at them with the pass rushing waves. I think that's going to be a huge benefit of the defense. It's really going to have a huge impact. Just want to get you guys' thoughts on that. And thanks again for all the work you guys have been doing during the draft.
Thanks, JD.
On paper, there's no question. There's a lot to like about these guys on paper. And, John, when we look at the sheet that we have in front of us, this is the entire Giant draft right here in front of us with a packet of the bio stuff. The one thing that really does stick out like a sore thumb, look at the programs. Miami, Alabama, UCLA.
Yeah, you got
Texas,
SEC, you got ACC, SEC, Pac-12, Big. I guess it's still the Big 12.
Yeah.
ACC and yeah. ACC. There you go.
I mean, you know,
UConn's in the ACC now, right? Am I crazy?
UConn is Big East.
They're Big East.
Big East.
Still?
I think so.
I thought they left.
Did they move, John?
Oh yeah, UConn's not in the Big East anymore. They left the Big East because they wanted to play football in a big conference.
UConn went ACC.
UConn's not playing Big East basketball anymore.
No, but I thought they were football.
No, I don't think so. I believe Big East is now – I think UConn's playing in the ACC now.
Point is –
I think. ACC, right?
Yeah. They are ACC. Okay, point is there's no 1AAs in there or FCS schools. There's no reaches. There's no Appalachian States that just moved up to Division I level.
Then again, Western Richburg was Colorado State last year, and he turned out pretty darn well. So.
Understood, but – just a common thread that I happen to see is that all these guys came from very big programs.
And this from one of the tweets. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
That shows you how blacked out we all get.
From
sometimes.
Big E at gift card 25. I like this draft and liked how the Giants went kind of nasty in this draft. And I think of actually the first two guys and even the third one. It's physicality, Paul. It's stopping the run. It's guys that like to hit. And I think Tom Coughlin wanted to get back to that. I think he's going to be pretty happy with those three guys.
Even Davis, we're talking about him,
yeah,
wide receiver.
Absolutely.
We're hearing that this guy is a physical player. I mean, he wants to be a gunner on specials.
Final call of the show, Paulie Dots. This guy wouldn't mind being a gunner on special teams. It's Charlie in Portland, Maine. How you doing, Chuckles?
Oh, boy.
Hey, John, Paul.
What's up?
Hey, John, I just want to say that you're probably just okay. I just want to get your feet back down on the ground a little bit.
I appreciate that, Charlie. Thank you.
Hey, I get a little different look at this. Just give me a minute here. I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I just think Jerry Reese put himself behind an eight ball because he didn't do very well in free agency. He didn't get the safety that he wanted. He let a roll go. So we ended up with two holes in safety, which we should have only had one. And because he didn't address the offensive line in free agency, like getting a right tackle, I think we reached a little bit around one, but he should be a great player in a couple of years. So, to me, what happened was is that we lost two draft picks because we had to move up to get the safety that we should have had in free agency.
Yeah, but you know what? No, but Charlie, hold on one second. Hold on.
I'm glad he did that.
No, but Charlie, hold on.
I think Reese puts himself behind the eight ball, then he scrambles to get somebody. Just let me say this one thing.
Yeah, real quick.
Because we didn't address a linebacker. We didn't address that position again. And we need a middle linebacker in case Beeson goes down. And I don't see that guy on our team right now. Paul, you might think that guy's there. I don't see it. McClain tried it last year. He was terrible. So we didn't address the middle linebacker position because we gave away a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round pick. Specifically the fourth-round pick, and also tight end, and also defensive tackle. We should have got another big run-stuffing tackle, and we didn't get that. And I think if we didn't have to go after the safety position and the offensive line, if we did that in free agency, we could have addressed those two positions.
Yeah, but, Charlie, here's the trick. Here's the trick. And I'm being completely honest. And we talked about the safety free agency class when it went down. Once you got past Devin McCourty, I don't think there was a safety the Giants could have signed in free agency that's as good as Landon Collins.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably agree with that, but I think we should have got him. We should have got McCourty, even if we had to give up more than we wanted to for him. We should have landed that guy.
Well, no, look, Charlie, they would have loved to get him, but sometimes you can't do it. McCourty wanted to go back to New England. What can you do? From what I understand, if the reports are right, I think Philly actually offered him more money than New England did, and he still went back to New England. So
he wanted to stay with Belichick.
So, I mean, what are you going to do? Charlie, here's the problem.
I agree. And
Charlie.
I think the other thing I just want to say with Spags, he's going to use Collins as his blitzer, just like he did with Wilson.
Charlie,
here's
the problem, Charlie. You obviously live in a bubble because you don't understand that other teams have needs, wants, desires, and they get to make picks too. And they get to sign players too. Look, I'm not trying to be funny with you. The truth of the matter is you're up against 31 other teams who are all trying to improve their team as much as you're trying to improve yours.
And by the way, have more money to spend than you do in a lot of situations.
And so you can't just sit there like it's a video game and say, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Because I think in like Madden and some of these games, you can tweak with the players, right?
Sure.
And you can move guys around. And,
shockingly, Paul Dottino's never played John Madden football. I know you can't believe that,
but he hasn't. And you can make a certain player Superman. That's not the way it works in real life. You know?
Yeah, I realize that. We live in the real world. But the thing is, we never addressed the linebacking position.
Let me ask you a question. What round did the Giants take Chase Blackburn in? He started in the Super Bowl, right?
What round was he taken in? He probably was maybe undrafted.
Ah. So do you know a guy that comes in here Friday, can't make the team, and is never going to play for this team and never do anything for them? Do you know that?
You know the percentages of a guy like Blackburn actually making the team? It's probably like 3%.
Percentages are percentages.
Right?
But here's the problem. I'm with you, but here's the problem. You can't fill every single crack and every single hole in one swoop.
No team's perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's why he should have fulfilled some of those in free agency, and then he would have.
He created
more holes than we had when
Charlie,
that's what I'm saying.
And we also tried to tell you in February that it was a twofold process. It was free agency and the draft. You can't separate them. You have to say, now that free agency and the draft is over, what is the full shopping cart look like, and how many holes still remain? And there aren't very many. There were a few cracks here, but as far as the holes have been filled. There are cracks left, and that's good. If you can go into your summer camp with only cracks on the roster as opposed to holes, you have to feel like you've done a pretty good job. You can nitpick all you want, Charlie, and that's fine, but that's all you're doing. You're nitpicking.
No, I'm not. No, John, like John said, he said, don't get so high on the rookies because they're going to make rookie mistakes.
That's
why you go into free agency and get veterans who they're going to play. They're wise. They have
experience. Charlie, you need to go back to the 80s when there was no salary cap, Charlie. That's what you need to do. Go back to the 80s. Go get your time machine and go back there, okay?
Me?
Please.
You're the one who lives in the 80s. You're the one who's the old school, not me, man.
Have a good time, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Yeah, you really should to be telling anybody else to go back to the 80s.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Well, I go back to the 60s and 70s. That's my problem.
Yeah, but I feel like your prime was in your 80s, though. That was Paul Dottino's prime. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
You still have that members only jacket.
But you know what? The truth is...
You do have that jacket, by the way.
And I'm having fun with them, but the truth is, you know, John, you can't just sit in a closed room and say, okay, this is everything we need, and we're going to do this, and get it all. You can't do it.
And if you are in that bubble, you can do that. You could say, oh, I'd like to have this. It's true. The Giants would have liked to fill every single crack and hole and potential deficiency on the roster they could have for agency. Unfortunately, it's not possible.
It's not reality.
There's budgets. There's other teams that are competing for the same players. It's just impossible
to deal
with.
You and I would love to go down to the corner store right now and buy a winning lottery ticket.
Right.
But you know what? It's not practical.
And Charlie was very happy about the first two rounds of the draft. He was like ecstatic last I talked to him. It lasted about 2 days.
Yeah. I mean,
come on, Charlie. I thought you were going to be happier for longer. All right, well. He has slid back into his role as the one who likes to just drop rain
and
on people.
I'm going
to
ask you, since you know Charlie's already gone, I'm going to ask you, what NFL team right now, today, thinks that they've got a perfect 53 and is ready to open the season?
No, zero.
Today.
And that's the point I always make. Every team has problems. Every team has things they're still trying to figure out. Every team in the league.
There are cracks in the wall in every team.
All right, here we go. Andrew, Big Bluviator, Beeson, McLean, Kennard. There's your three middle linebacker candidates on the team. I agree. He also points out Antonio Pierce was also undrafted, which I think was a good point. Joe at JCS02008, he points out a top free safety in free agency could have cost $7 to $9 million a year or an offensive lineman, which is true. And all of a sudden, Collins, you have him on a rookie contract. So big difference there as well. Excellent point. Let's see what else we got here.
Charlie's not living in the salary cap world.
Oh, and MJG, UConn is in the American Conference. I think they're going. I think they might be going.
Oh, American Athletic.
They're in the AAC,
right.
Not the ACC.
American
Thank you, guys.
Athletic
I appreciate
Conference.
That. You're right. It is the AAC, not the ACC.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's my fault. Let's see what else we got here. Let's see. Welcome to the Vic Fontana. Welcome to the new Giants law firm of Amukamara, Odigizua, and Ogbenaya. I like that one. That's pretty good. That is actually pretty good. Ben Gruen points out that I mentioned double O's 40 time and how I don't really pay attention to that. He points out that it could be significant in special teams because you actually do run 40 yards on special teams, and he could be a guy that plays kick coverage with Diggy Zoo. He might have that type of ability to be one of the inside guys on kick coverage.
I don't think that's beyond the possibility.
Absolutely not.
And by the way, can I put Darkwa into that law firm too? Can I buy him a partnership?
What? You like the Q, huh? Is that what you want to put him in? You like the Q?
I mean, I'm just saying. He's got a
see.
K in there, but still, I think he wants a partnership.
Chris Hudson heard Spags is letting Beeson make calls and chain plays on the field this year. Wasn't allowed to do that in the past. Well, Beeson was making audibles and changing plays on the field on their field, too. So that would be no different, and I'm sure as the leader of the defense, he would be given the ability to make audibles.
Heck, Beeson comes in here a couple of years ago, first game in Chicago.
Hey, he's making
audibles. He's lining guys
he
up.
He really is. He's absolutely right. Let's see. Vic Fontana, can you talk about Gregory versus Collins? Do you think there was thought to put him across from Kennard? Would he have been a fit? We've talked about a lot, Randy Gregory, too much of a 3-4 outside linebacker.
That's not a point you can even argue.
Agreed. And I think those are all the ones that seem to make sense here. So there you go. Oh, by the way, I forgot to wish you a happy Star Wars Day today. It's May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, my goodness.
Doug, you don't pay attention to Twitter?
It's really time to close this show, folks. It really is.
You have to get into it now. Come on, man. It's May the 4th. You got nothing for
you want to talk about throwback, going back to Star Wars. Now, that's a throwback.
You would have fit right in that Mos Eisley Cantina, by the way. In the first Star Wars, when they show all the people in the bar hanging out, you would have fit right in there. It would have been perfect.
You know, remember when they froze Han Solo and the
yes.
carbon thing?
You would have melted right through that thing as soon as they froze in there, right? You would have just, like, seeped your way through the metal?
I would have busted right out. I mean, with my energy, I would have melted the carbon case.
You know what? And I haven't bought a Madden football game in probably 5 or 6 years. I bought them religiously from, like, high school through college.
Yes, John.
And if I bought one now, I would definitely create a Paul Dottino football player. I would absolutely. And here's what it would be. You would have great, like, acceleration, but you would have no stamina. So you would give everything you had in, like, three plays, then you would, like, drop dead and you'd be finished. That's the type of that. That would be your version of Paul Dottino on Madden.
I remember one time I asked Coach Coughlin if he wanted me to help out on special teams, and he shook his head and laughed and wondered if I could even last one play. He's probably right.
No, you would get out there for one play, you'd get flattened, and then you'd be finished. So you would last one play.
Half a play.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'd get down to make the tackle.
That's true. Because one of these players on another team that you badmouthed the last 4 years would target you, and you'd be finished.
That's it. It'd be over.
You're back on
Thursday? Thursday, yes. And Friday this week.
Yes, you and tomorrow it'll be tomorrow and Wednesday. It is me and Lance, and then on Thursday and Friday it is Paul and Lance because I'll be spending time with the rookies and rookie minicamp when that begins on Thursday and Friday. So,
fun deal.
Tomorrow I believe we have Tony Pauline coming on with me and Lance to break down the Giants' picks. So that'll be fun. Actually, Mikel Thompson was one of his sleeper safeties this year, so maybe he can give us a little more insight on him and why he likes him so much.
I
so.
Hope he has gotten some good stuff and intel, and he's seen him at least, which is more than I could say.
Absolutely right, Paul. Appreciate the time. Okay, everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Everybody, may the 4th be with you.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.
Get no punch.
Intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!